In an interview with VOA, the Zimbabwe National Parks and Wildlife Authority, or ZIMPARKS, revealed it has to shore up funds for its operations through various initiatives, including the sale of hunting concessions. The Parks Authority also says it has taken a financial hit due to the effects of COVID-related travel restrictions on tourism. Zimbabwe has the world's second biggest population of elephants, which ranges between 80,000 and 100,000, growing at 5% per year, according to Parks. Neighboring Botswana has the largest herd at well over 106,000 elephants, according to CITES, Convention on International Trade in Endangered Species of Wild Fauna and Flora. The elephant herd in that country has risen exponentially from 34,000 to over 106,000 since 1983. And just last month, Botswana offered rights to shoot 287 elephants. The country's hunting season resumed on April 6 after the lifting of a ban imposed by former President Ian Khama in 2014. The International Union of Conservation of Nature, IUCN, says Africa's 350,000 elephant herd is in the red zone, but Zimbabwe argues that alongside its neighbor, the situations are unique. ZIMPARKS spokesperson Tinashe Farao explains the rationale for the hunting quota, with the human life conflict being a major consideration in culling animal populations. He says that's because elephants last year killed 60 people and 21 people to date this year.
Since 1991, the hunting quota for elephants was pegged at 500, and the 500 is set after consulting stakeholders and everyone involved in the hunting industry. So the 500 is an annual quota which is set, but we have never exhausted that hunting quota since 1991, which means we are allowed to hunt at most 500 elephants since 1991.
Critics have cited both countries for the practice, with conservationists decrying the profiteering from elephant hunting. ZIMPARKS spokesman Tinashe Farao weighs in, explaining that in addition to a lack of funds from government, the country's laws allow culling. He adds that they are following a science-backed approach and recommendations from the European Union in its parks management.
I think we are probably the only wildlife management authority in the world which does not receive funding from central government. And we eat what we kill. We normally rely on tourism to fund conservation, to fund wildlife management. And you all know what is happening globally because of this COVID thing. So we are struggling. We are having a lot of challenges in terms of funding our wildlife management.
Observers say that the concessions are upwards of US$70,000 per animal, but ZIMPARKS denies that. It says that the government gazetted fee is US$10,000, which excludes camping, tour guide fees, accommodation, transport, and all other relevant costs, including charges to export the trophy. Conservationist Luke Brown with the Zambezia Conservation Alliance says maintaining animal populations is an intricate discipline.
Conservation efforts are hugely reliant on tourism revenues, and yet tourism is hugely reliant on conservation as well. The two go hand in hand, and without that fragile balance, we find ourselves in a difficult position.
Ross Kennedy of leading tourism operator Africa Obida sees the numbers of wildlife in the region called the Kavango Zambezi Transfrontier Conservation Area, Kaza TFCA, as a blessing rather than a burden.
In the Kaza region itself, we are blessed with some of the finest wildlife numbers, herds, diversity on the continent, and vast areas of natural bushveld, vast areas of very low numbers of human population and a few cities in the Kaza region.
But in areas where populous communities live alongside wildlife areas, observers and stakeholders note that the coexistence between people and animals is quite fragile. And that's why policymakers and wildlife activists are encouraged to cooperate so the animals are protected and can provide valuable tourism dollars to the community. Reporting for VOA, this is Adigondo in Victoria Falls, Zimbabwe.